It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here and we're doing life together, and we're very glad that you've joined us once again.
You know, Dr. Linda, I used to hear people say all the time, oh, time is going by so fast. I thought that was old people that said that. Well, now I'm old because I feel the same way.
You do.
We were just in here doing a show last weekend.
Yeah.
It seems like just yesterday.
And that's because you have a newborn in your house that
that's
is
true.
Creating a lot of joy,
right.
But it's also stress as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about stress and eating today. Anybody in your household grabbing food as a way of dealing with the stress of a newborn and having two other children?
I don't think I say, oh, I'm stressed, I need a cookie. It's just you sort of grab it.
You grab without thinking about
it. And the next thing you say to yourself is, where did this cookie come from?
I remember when I was feeling a lot of stress eating off of the kids' plates.
Right.
You have two girls that are a little bit older
right.
that have plates of food. So sometimes as the mom, it was easier as I was dealing with the baby and doing all this other stuff. A couple bites of macaroni and cheese, which actually I didn't make that often because I knew that wasn't the healthiest food. But you can eat when you have stress with babies.
Well, see, now those two that you're talking about are now young adults. What are the stresses of launching kids out into the world?
I'm in a different phase of life than you are. You're bringing new ones into the world. I'm launching them out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have two young adults. And interestingly enough, we're going to have them periodically in our house because of grad school. And my son's going to aviation school. So they're going to be coming and going into our house where we thought we were empty nesting. Not so much. And I know there's a lot of people listening that have their 20-somethings coming back to live with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a little bit of stress for people. And I'm hoping I can handle it well and not go to the food. Since I have written a lot in this area, if people don't know, my specialty area is dealing with eating disorders and obesity and food issues. Certainly, this is a big part of it, not using food to deal with stress. As parents, we're always teaching. And we need to be modeling for our kids that stress eating isn't a good deal. But most of us have done it. If you've ever found yourself saying, why did I just eat that? I wasn't hungry.
Right.
Forget the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't we done that at some other time?
Earlier today, probably. Maybe yesterday.
I mean, we could do that with job stress.
Right.
We can do that with relationship stress. We can do that anytime. Today, we want to help you so that when you're feeling stressed, you don't just mindlessly grab food and don't eat when you're not hungry, because that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're eating when we're not hungry. We're just eating because the food is there. And then the problem with that is we go, what's wrong with me? And then we have to deal with all the guilt that we have.
And then when we do that, we feel even more stressed because we're asking ourselves this question, does that lead to even more stressful eating?
It does. It becomes this kind of vicious cycle that we have to break because we're stressed, we're not thinking, we're kind of grabbing things, and then we're feeling that terrible guilt and that defeat, and then it results in eating even more.
Mm.
So we can get into this terrible cycle, and then we're making disparaging remarks about ourselves. We're thinking, oh, I'm terrible, why'd I do this? We're feeling even worse, and then we reach for the food again. So this is not what we want to do. It's easy to give up and give in. It's easy to feel like the food is more powerful than we are. And that we can't really defeat this kind of stress eating in our lives because it feels somewhat impulsive and we're left feeling hopeless about the whole thing.
And all along it's supposed to make us feel better, but we end up feeling much worse.
You got it. That's the issue here. If we know that it ultimately is not going to make us feel better, I guess the question is, why do we keep doing it? The answer to that is really like a lot of things. And you can probably guess, why do you do it? Why do you do things that you know aren't good for you? You have any ideas about that?
I have no idea. Please
well,
tell
think
me.
About it. It just feels good immediately.
Right.
It's easy to reach for food because it's right there, and it immediately makes us feel better.
Mm-hmm.
A food is kind of like a friend who's always present, if you think about it.
Yes.
And it's a friend who doesn't talk back to you.
True.
And it's a friend who doesn't say stop. continue to enjoy me. It's a really good friend in that regard, right? But the problem is it doesn't work in the long term. If we know that it feels good for the moment, but then in the long run we feel worse. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we almost always feel worse because if we continue to stress eat, we usually gain weight. And we don't usually grab the broccoli when we're stress eating.
Right.
It's usually not the foods we're reaching for.
Not usually. And you have some research that says what women versus men eat when they're stressed.
It's not the leafy vegetables. Because you know how they always say on diets, you can eat as much leafy vegetable as you want. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and eat vegetables all day and you'll be fine.
Thank you. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's the issue. Most of us, that's not going to work. Can you guess what the number one food is that both men and women grab when they're feeling stressed?
Part of me thinks, let's say it's not broccoli, a cookie.
A cookie? Well, mm-hmm. cookie's a good guess because that is one of the things that women go for. Mm-hmm. But that's not the number one for both genders. Any other guesses?
Pizza.
That would be a male one. You're getting the idea of the gender differences here. But the one food that both genders go for all the time mm-hmm. is ice cream.
Really?
Here's why. Ice cream calms our central nervous system. But in the long run, it wreaks havoc with our blood sugar. And it ends up leaving us tired and hungry for more. See, that's the problem with these high fat, high sugar, high carb kind of foods. We crave those and we crave more of those. After we deal with ice cream as the number one, then we get into what you're talking about, Chris, and that is the gender differences. Women and men crave different things.
Why is that?
I know, it's kind of interesting. There is one theory that men crave certain types of foods because it reminds them of their mother's home cooking.
My mom never made Cheez-Its. I guarantee that.
And you crave Cheez-Its.
I can eat a whole box of those Cheez-Its.
You could eat those Cheez-Its. Right. I know. I like those too, actually. I mm-hmm. have to say, I don't buy them for that reason because that's how I deal with stress. Eating is not buying certain foods.
Right.
Women do seem to eat more in response to stress than men do overall. Women grab for food and men do some other things more often. So we do stress eat more than men do. But we tend to crave sweets, and it could be in part hormone related. Mm. Research bears it out that we want the sweets, so we go for the ice cream and the chocolate and the cookies and all the good sweets that are there. And then men reach for hearty comfort foods. The pizza that you talked about,
right, yeah.
Steaks.
Yes.
See, if a man wants to binge, mm-hmm. they want that steak and right. those real hearty foods.
A bologna sandwich.
Okay. That reminds me of my German roots. I have to say, I have an aversion to bologna because my mom and dad were German. He would take butter and put it on a sandwich and put bologna on it. Wow. I just never liked that. I'm sorry.
The bologna is fine by itself.
Yeah, but it's the meat and the hearty foods, meatloaf and wings, where the women are diving into the chocolate sundaes and all the other good stuff. Women associate those protein-dense foods of meats and soups and all of that with too much work.
Yeah.
We have to prepare all of that.
Right, yeah.
We don't want to binge on that or crave that. So we go for the easy things like chocolate and sweets. And then we feel guilty and not happy, according to a study that was done at Cornell University. Men don't get guilty about it. I think that's really interesting that women feel guilty when they crave sweets and they eat them and they stress eat and men don't. They just do it.
Well, if we overdo it, grabbing a handful of crackers is okay. But if you eat the whole box of crackers,
you'll feel guilty.
Then you feel a little, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. The stress hormones actually kick back up and we crave more and more comfort food. That's the problem with the stress eating. Mm-hmm. We might want to calm ourselves down initially, but it doesn't work in the long run. We've got to find better ways to de-stress. And this whole show is about food is not our answer.
Well, I have a feeling that before the program is over, you will help us work through that, Dr. Linda. You have a book on this topic titled Press Pause Before You Eat. That's available on your website or online sites. Press Pause Before You Eat helps us better understand stress eating and how to break that habit. More about stress eating on the Dr. Linda Mental Show right after this.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Ever hear the expression, to have a friend, be a friend? Well, most of us have. If you really want to be a treasured friend, why not visit the Friendship Spa? Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor and author of the book, We Need to Talk. Now, before you think this sounds crazy and expensive, I'm not talking about a real spa. I'm suggesting that like a real spa, though, you enlist some soothing treatments for your friendships. Well, try this one. Why not soak your friend in prayer? Praying for someone else builds passion and compassion. It helps us see them as God does. Or how about this? apply a liberal amount of encouragement. Just like aromatherapy, encouraging your friend's abilities and strength releases the sweet scent of trust and understanding. Sometimes a friendship might need a deep tissue massage to get at the root of a disagreement. But if you've been visiting the Friendship Spa, then the truth of Proverbs 27:6, where it tells us that the loving reproof of a friend will only make us and our friendship stronger, will take effect. So how about it? Why not give the Friendship Spa a try?
To check out Dr. Linda's books on weight control, Lose It for Life, Press Pause Before You Eat, Breaking Free from Compulsive Overeating, and Raising Healthy Kids, go to drlindamental.com. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we're talking about something we all do from time to time, which is stress eat. How much does simply having too much food, Dr. Linda, play a role in our stress eating?
It's really big. The abundance of food is really an issue because food is constantly available
right,
to us.
Yeah.
We can stop anytime, any day. There's the fifth meal. What is it? The advertisement for that one fast food restaurant. It's like the fifth meal.
I learned the other day that there's one right before lunch called Elevenses.
Elevenses? And then you eat lunch after that?
Right, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Or maybe it's Elevenses, but no. Elevenses.
That's silly.
Right,
and these are not small little meals that people are planning to eat. Mm-hmm. These are major meals. Part of the problem is that we just eat because we can. When we walk past the smoothie bar and we see those machines foaming up tropical concoctions, I'm picturing it right now as I'm
yes.
saying it, that moves us to the counter. And on a cold winter night or a cooler spring morning, mm-hmm. we think, ooh, a hot cup of peppermint mocha would sound really good. Or
right.
we're sitting there and we're watching television and we're looking at the chocolate topping on the rich vanilla ice cream and it's telling us go to the freezer.
Well,
get that.
They do this to you at 10:30 at night.
I know.
And you should be thinking about going to bed, but then you see the commercial come on TV.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, you're rummaging through the kitchen looking for a snack.
Yeah, and then it's like walking through the mall even.
Yeah.
You smell those cinnamon things
right.
that are
mm-hmm.
baking and you just want to go get those. The problem is our environment provides a lot of cues to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're watching those advertisements, you're going to get cued to eat. I DVR a lot of stuff and I pass through the advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that's helping people. It'd be an interesting study to see if you're not watching the advertisements, if you're eating less.
Right.
But those advertisements are meant to get you off the couch and to your refrigerator
mm-hmm.
and start eating those foods. We have to be aware that just because we have an abundance of food, that we should not always be getting up and eating it.
Well, let's talk about the types of stress that trigger reaching for the food or getting up to go to the kitchen.
I've got a whole chapter in the book, Press Pause Before You Eat, on being hurried,
mm-hmm.
being busy, having no time. And most of us, when that happens, we run past the fast food places, we stop in, we're grabbing, we're eating without thinking, we're just grabbing food because we're stressed, we're hurried. And that is really something we have to think about. We eat in our cars a lot because of that. People are grabbing food, just shoving it into their mouth while they're driving, which can't be great for our concentration on driving either.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the emotional eating that we all do. We eat out of emotions. We eat when we're happy. We eat when we're sad. We eat when we're afraid. We eat when we're disappointed. We eat when we're lonely. But really what surprised me is, do you know what the number one emotion is that we eat out of?
Celebration of some sort.
Yeah. I think we talked about this once on another show we did,
mm-hmm.
that we eat when we're happy.
Right.
That isn't a stress response. So if we're eating when we're happy and we're eating when we're stressed, I think we're just eating all the time.
You know, you can speak to this because we happen to attend the same church. Our church eats more than
anyone. Do you think?
There's always food.
There's always
there.
Food.
Yeah.
And it's all
mm-hmm.
the high carb and the sweet
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I work in a medical school and you would think we would have really healthy snacks.
Mm-hmm.
But between exams and tests and stuff, it's brownies and cookies and cakes and all kinds
right.
of unhealthy things. And food can be like a drug. It can medicate us from bad feelings. And so that's why we eat a lot of food when we're stressed, is because
mm-hmm.
in some ways, maybe we're not drinking alcohol and covering up the feeling, or we're not taking some kind of a drug, but we're eating to medicate those bad feelings. So we have to be really, really careful about that.
Well, Dr. Linda, you are the relationship doctor, and you talk about how we stress eat because of our relationships.
Yeah.
Say more about that.
Relationship issues are a major trigger for stress eating. Just think about it. How many times do people get off a phone call
mm-hmm.
with an angry husband or a mother-in-law that's making you crazy or whatever the issue is, and you start to eat? We eat often after we have a fight with our spouse, or when we're feeling really insecure in a relationship, we might grab for the food. A lot of people listening to us are stressed by the demands of elderly parents and all the caretaking that's involved in that. What happens is that we use food to calm us down. The people who are listening to us who have young kids, if you have screaming toddlers. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have a screaming toddler right now, but you will in a few years.
We have a screaming month and a half old.
Yeah. As we talked at the top of the show, you can grab food as a result of dealing with that stress, even though it might be good stress. Mm-hmm. When you're preparing for a wedding or the arrival of a new baby, those can be positive stresses, but we can still grab food as a way of coping with that stress. Food gives us pleasure. It gives us a momentary break. And so, yes, be aware that relationship issues can trigger us to stress eat.
In Press Pause Before You Eat, you develop something called the pause principle.
Yes.
Let me correct that. It sounds like I said pause like on a bear. It's pause like stop.
Yes. P-A-U-S-E.
That's right.
Type of pause.
And I think you will alliterate that in just a second, but it helps us to be mindful of stress eating.
If you think about it, on the cover of the book is a remote control with a hand on it.
Right.
And it's hitting the pause button on the remote control. When we talk about this principle, think about taking that remote and pausing like you would on a television screen. Mm-hmm. You're going to take the remote in your head and you're going to pause when you want to stress eat. Let's go through this because it's a very helpful principle if you can remember it. The P stands for purpose. Purpose not to use food for stress relief. Right away, this is being intentional. It's saying, okay, I'm not going to go to food. I know I do this. I have a habit. I just grab it. I'm going to be very purposeful about this, very intentional. And we know from the research that if you can delay eating for at least 20 minutes when you just feel like it, that craving will pass. Isn't that good news?
Well, I've experienced this.
Have you?
Put it off for 15 to 20 minutes. The next thing you know, hey, I didn't grab the chips.
Because stress eating isn't about really being hungry.
Right.
Stress eating is about the craving that you're feeling. The craving is something that will pass if you give it time. The first P is to purpose in your heart to be intentional to not go to food when you feel stressed. The A is then attend to your body for signs of tension. A lot of people are unaware of when they're feeling stressed. They don't know what stress feels like, and they don't even identify that they're in this stressful state. Hmm. Instead, they're walking around, and they're being irritable, they have poor concentration, they haven't had enough sleep, and they're in stress. If you attend to your body, and you say, hey, right now, I'm feeling pretty stressed, then this is something I need to be aware of. Be in the moment for that. The U in the pause principle is understand that chronic stress takes a toll on your body and that food is not a solution. The U is for understanding. Mm-hmm. Understanding, this is what I'm doing, but this is not working for me. What are my triggers? Is it my mother? Is it my boss? Is it that critical parent? Is it the mall with good smells? Is it the 7-Eleven that I pass every time I am driving? Is it eating in my car because I'm feeling stressed? In a lot of cases, we can actually remove the source of the stress. We can not take food into our car. We can not drive by the 7-Eleven. We can take a different route. So we're purposing with the P. We're attending to our body for signs of stress. We're understanding whatever it is that triggers us and that these triggers are important to pay attention to. And then the S in that formula is strategize. And here's where we're going to spend the last segment. We're going to strategize ways to reduce, prevent, and tolerate stress without using food. So we're going to decide ahead of time, and we're going to have a plan so that we don't just give in to eating in the moment. I have a number of ways to de-stress. We're going to talk about those. There's so many of them that you have to learn to do instead of eating. I think we'll save that for the last segment. I'll give you the E here so that we finish out the pause. And the E is execute small changes. We don't expect people to change their whole life overnight. We're going to take these strategies that we're going to talk about in our last segment, and we're going to start making some changes. Easy things like not skipping meals so that we're not hungry, so that we're going to just grab food whenever we feel like it. We're going to practice some self-care instead of using food as our stressor. When we come back, let's hit those, and then we'll talk about some spiritual issues as well. We'll be back in a moment. Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we've been talking about stress eating. And before we went to the break, Dr. Linda, you talked about the pause principle. And honestly, I think I've done well with that. In the evenings, I'll push pause on the remote and then go upstairs and get a snack. Am I close with that?
I think you've not been listening to the show.
Oh, okay. So I've missed the mark then.
I think you know what's going on here. We're going to go back into the strategies, S part.
You did ask me which part of this could I really put into real life. The being intentional part, the P, you have to purpose to make this work.
Yeah,
this,
you do.
This doesn't just happen. You really have to stop and say, I have got to make a change here.
We're going
to
talk about some strategies then so that you have a plan, so that you're just not caught in the moment. The first one is when you feel stressed, a good option is walk. Walk around the block. If you're at home, get out of your office chair and walk up and down the hall for a moment if you can. Now, obviously, if you're in a car, you're going to have to use one of the other strategies we're going to give you. Get up and move and get some exercise. Another one is just talk to somebody. We've talked about the difference between men and women. Men don't always want to talk it out because they feel more overwhelmed when they do that. Mm-hmm. But for women, talking, venting a little bit, as long as you keep that in a shortened period of time, that's a good one. How about music, Chris? What do you think? Playing music?
Oh, definitely. That totally takes your mind off of the situation.
Especially worship music. That's right. A really good way to calm yourself down. I actually teach students how to do music meditation using praise music and worship music as a way of meditating. You and I sing in a choir where we did this beautiful song, Psalm
86.
It was, I Will Lift My Eyes Up to the Lord. I meditated on that song when I was practicing it. I would stop singing and just listen to this beautiful choir sing it.
Right.
And it would calm me right down. So that's a good one. Distract yourself from the food. Distraction is a good technique. Get up and do something else. Maybe write a grocery list. Time to say that as a joke. You'd write something else down, maybe a list of to-do things or something else. Just wanted to see if you were listening there.
Okay. I picked up on that one.
You could draw. One of the good ones is if you have the time and it's in the evening and you really want to go eat something, go take a bath. Soak in the bathtub, and you'll give yourself a little pampering, and you won't go eat. Because most people don't eat in the bathroom.
Right.
It's true if you think about it. That's not a place we usually take in food.
Your next suggestion is to clean something.
Yeah.
And before you get into that, I have found that if I'm stressed out and I'll start cleaning up my office, great idea.
That works for you.
Oh, yeah.
That's really great. And I have an aunt who used to do that. She would get stressed, and she would start cleaning everything around her. It's a good way to get rid of some of that energy and to take it into something that's going to be productive. How about this one? Play with your pet. A lot of places bring in pets to reduce stress at work.
Mm-hmm.
I have the comfort dog for my job. She comes to work with me and she calms down the students. So that's kind of a cool thing. How about just counting to 10 and counting backwards or something to distract your mind away from the stress? That is a great way to get your emotional self calm down. And then praying is always good. In fact, we can kind of move into that in terms of the spiritual ways that we can apply this principle.
We've been talking about the pause principle and how to work through alternatives to stress eating. You've also applied this spiritually.
Yeah, the pause to the spiritual part of this. One of the reasons that we sometimes stress eat is out of a feeling of a spiritual hunger. We're not sure what's going on with our life. We're trying to fill a void with food. We think about the P, purpose. Purpose to look at your spiritual hunger. What's going on in your life? What void are you trying to fill with food? Are you feeling maybe there's not meaning or purpose in your life because you don't have that relationship with God that you need? Purpose to look at your spiritual hunger. The A, the attend, is attend to the feelings of restlessness, boredom, lack of purpose, and discontent that you might have. Don't medicate these feelings with food or any other substance. Think about what is at the base of those restless feelings that you're having in your life. It's usually a spiritual issue that you need to attend to. And then the U on that, the understanding, the spiritual hunger, is that you have to use spiritual food for spiritual issues. Using food to calm down a spiritual issue isn't going to work. What are you really craving? Is it more intimacy with God? Is it more meaning? Jesus said that he is the bread of life, and he promises to satisfy our hunger. Augustine said, you, meaning God, have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find our rest in you. And then the S is strategize ways to improve your spiritual intimacy with God. Develop a spiritual life. Have a quiet time. Do some regular reading, some studying of the scripture. Consider a Bible study or a small group in your church or maybe even a prayer group that you could join. And then the E for execute would be execute those spiritual disciplines, such as prayer, reading of the word, renewing our mind with scripture, and becoming more intimate with God. That is going to be the way we're going to deal with spiritual hunger, is when we apply spiritual food to whatever it is that we're feeling. I love what C.S. Lewis said in The Weight of Glory. He says that this type of desire, this craving that we have, which is really for spiritual things, is like wanting something more, like the scent of a flower we haven't found, or the echo of a tune we have not heard, or news from a country we've never visited. Lewis was referring to our desire for completion that can't be met through food or any other natural means. God doesn't promise to remove stress from our life. As long as we breathe, we're going to have stress. But he does promise to complete us, to keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on him. He promises his presence and his comforts as well. And you know what, Chris? That's better than any slice of cake I can imagine.
That's true. Or pizza.
Or pizza. Mm-hmm. That's right. For one thing, God's presence is always with us. He never leaves us. He never abandons us. He won't be used up like food. The next time you're stressed and you're tempted to eat, reach for the bread of life. Drink from the living water and be satisfied. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our social media director, Hannah Duke, our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to you, my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we are here and we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.